Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Barbeque Nation Hospitality Limited Q4 FY 2022 conference call hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to introduce the management for today. We have with us Mr. Kayum Dhanani, Managing Director, Mr. Rahul Agrawal, CEO and Whole Time Director, and Mr. Amit Betala, Chief Financial Officer. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kayum Dhanani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. A very good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I take the pleasure in welcoming you to quarter four FY 2022 conference call of Barbeque Nation. We are happy to announce yet another remarkable quarterly operating performance at Barbeque Nation. The quarter started with a strong Omicron wave leading to dine-in operation restrictions. However, recovery post the third wave was equally steep, leading to a strong revenue growth during the quarter. Over the last 2.5 years, the business has effectively sailed through three COVID waves, led by strong resilience of the brand and the team. We have seen diminishing impact of these waves in our business. Despite the third wave, the company reported a quarter four year-on-year revenue growth of 11% and an SSG of 5.5%, and EBITDA margins of  20.1%. Even though FY 2022 was impacted by two COVID waves, the company has crossed pre-COVID FY 2020 revenues with year-on-year revenue growth of 70% and SSG of 64.7% and an EBITDA margin of 18.6%. The business has structurally become more robust, led by young and professional management team, a strong balance sheet, diversified revenue streams, and profitable presence across multiple geographies and brands. The company has proven track record of diversified growth engines like UBQ, Toscano, and Barbeque International. We have continued our growth in store count and added 12 new restaurants during the quarter, taking the overall store count to 185 restaurants. We have also upgraded our restaurant designs with newer look and feel, thereby further enhancing guest experience. With this momentum, we are confident of growing our restaurant strength by 35 to 40 restaurants in FY 23. Over the medium term, we plan to take over network to 300 restaurants by FY 25. While COVID-related worry seems to be subsiding as of now, the current operating environment has been challenged by multi-year high inflation. While the input cost inflation has been significantly higher, the impact on our gross margins was limited due to improved operational efficiency. We will continue to take required measures to maintain our gross margins and profitability. With this, I will now hand it over to Rahul to take you through the performance of the company during the quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Kayum. Good evening, everyone. I hope you and your loved ones are safe and healthy. We faced the impact of two COVID waves in FY22, despite which the recovery has been strong. In FY22, we recorded 70% growth in revenue and 73% growth in EBITDA. Our delivery business has grown by 157% over FY21, and dine-in business has grown by 54% over FY21. Notwithstanding the impact of third COVID wave during the initial period of the quarter, the recovery in the second half of the quarter was quick and steep. Our operating revenues for quarter 4 FY22 were 251 crores as compared to Rs. 226 crore in quarter 4 FY21, thereby registering a growth of 11% over the previous year. We reported same-store sales growth of 5.5% in the quarter and approximately 65% for the full year FY22. During quarter 4 FY22, our dining business has grown by 4% on year-on-year basis. Dining business was impacted in first half of the quarter by the Omicron wave, but recovered well during the second half of the quarter, which led to a year-on-year growth of 32% in the month of March versus March 2021. The share of delivery revenues to total revenues increased from 18% to as against 13% in quarter 4 FY21. The delivery business has stabilized well, and we have not seen any noticeable cannibalization despite ramp up on the dining business. Our restaurant network expansion has ramped up during the quarter with 12 new stores opened in quarter 4, taking the overall store count to 185 as on March 2022. We further added 3 new stores in April 2022 and have a robust under-construction pipeline of 14 restaurants and an equally strong pipeline of work-in-progress stores. Our reported EBITDA was 50.4 crore in quarter 4 FY22 versus 56.1 crore in quarter 4 FY21. Without the impact of Ind AS 116, the quarter 4 FY22 EBITDA was 22.8 crores with 9.1% EBITDA margin, as against 31.3 crores, which is 13.8% EBITDA margin in quarter 4 FY21. The reduction in EBITDA margin during the quarter were predominantly due to the impact of COVID wave 3 and inflationary pressures on input costs. With strong recovery in the business in the month of March 2022, the EBITDA margins have also recovered to normalized levels. With this, we'll now open the floor for interactive Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, first question on CAPEX. In your cash flow, the CAPEX is about 93 crores. If I adjust for the CAPEX on the cloud kitchens, which might be about 3 to 4 crores, and increase in the capital work in progress, which is another 15 crores, we should see a CAPEX of about 75 crores approximately adjusted for this. And on the basis of 21-22 restaurants that we have added on a net basis, that works out to close to about 3.5 crores per restaurant CAPEX. Our understanding was that this number would be in the region of 2.7 or 2.8. So can you just explain what is the reason for the higher CAPEX per store?
Yeah, Percy, so the numbers that you mentioned are correct. So 93 from the cash flow statement, 15 from capital work in progress. That makes around 25 crores as the CAPEX incurred during the year. On these 75 crores, we have around 3 crores for extension kitchens, which leaves 22 crores. We have another 8 to 10 crores on maintenance CAPEX, which is what we normally do, around 5 lakh rupees per restaurant. So that leaves around 62 crores. And we have added 21 new restaurants in the year, and we have 2 closures, right? So the net new additions are 23. So on these 23 stores, on 2.7 crore per outlet, we have around 62 crores of CAPEX. So broadly 62, around 8 to 10 on maintenance CAPEX, and around 3 crores on EPA. So that makes around 25.
Okay.
So despite the inflation also on the CAPEX side, we have managed to maintain the average CAPEX of 2.7 crore per outlet.
And how would this trend in FY23, given the inflation in commodities, etc., the CAPEX per store?
So we will try and maintain the same number. I don't think we'll reach that. Yes, there has been inflation even on the CAPEX side, but we've also been very strategically passing on some of the CAPEX on the landlords and taking up the buildings wherein some scope of work is going on the landlord. So that helps us to manage this. And some more work done on value engineering side in terms of the project. We have some rationalization on the unit space. At times we have very strategically taken smaller space or not delivering the entire space to just manage this number at 2.7. And I don't see, even with the current inflation, this number should not get hit.
Right. In terms of store openings, this year we've had a very back-ended store opening. So do you think the same kind of phenomenon will repeat next year, or it will be evenly paced out across the quarters?
No, it should be evenly paced out. The reason for the current year back-ended is we closed our fundraise by around end of last year, right? And then immediately after the close of fundraising, we entered into a COVID second wave, right? And to that extent, there was disruption in terms of how the BD team or the project team operated. Should not have happened, but yes, it happened. And a typical cycle of a restaurant or a site coming inside the system to launch is approximately 150 days. So even during the second quarter, we were very comfortable with the pipeline of new stores, and that's why you would see, as and when they started coming on board, we saw around 7 sites last year, in quarter 3, and 12 sites in quarter 4. This quarter onwards, I see a steady, opening of around 3 to 4 sites every month now.
Okay. Secondly, just wanted to touch upon the pledge issues. Recently, RBL sold off some of the shares which were pledged. So what was the reason that they had to sell the shares pledged? Was there any kind of default on the loan servicing or something like that? And if so, what was the reason behind that?
So, Kaim, would you like to take that?
What I was asking is that recently RBL Bank has sold off some of the shares which were pledged. So what was the reason that they had to sell this off? Was there any kind of default on the loan covenants or servicing? And if so, what was the reason behind the same?
So basically, RBL was part of a consortium, or rather is part of the consortium of bankers where in my other company, other business operations, where they had this, the Barbecue Nation share as security. And during this COVID, we have had some issues with the other business, and whereby while the restructuring process was going on, they have taken a call, they have decided to offload these shares in the market and recover their part of the loan, because their committee wanted to come out of this association. So this is what they have done. It was definitely not in our control, and this is what has happened.
Okay. So just a lot of investors have been asking what is the sort of end game for this as far as resolution of the promoter debt is concerned. Would it be possible for you to share any kind of insight on this?
So as far as the debt is concerned, the post-COVID, there were issues with the other businesses. Barbecue Nation, we have deleveraged ourselves in multiple ways, and the restructuring process is also almost through with other banks, and business has improved a lot post-COVID. I don't see any such events happening in future, and I can assure you that And of course, there are these pledges were of course disclosed even before the IPO, and there is hardly any pledge of shares is pending with of Barbecue Nation with any bank now.
Right, sir. That's all from me. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prasad.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Trilok from Diamond Asia. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. So, we obviously, when I look at the numbers now, we are doing nearly 50 crore EBITDA, on a quarterly basis. So, based on the initial comment that you highlighted about, 300 stores in next 3 years, and is my understanding correct when you said, what's the FY23 addition number that you're targeting in stores, revenue total stores?
So we're planning to add around 35 to 40 restaurants. So we'll reach anywhere between 220 to 225 restaurants in total.
Okay. So, the first question was, is it fair to assume that what I was thinking from a revenue per restaurant perspective and the total addition that you will end up doing in next 2 years, at least till FY24, you might see we at least have a probability of a normalized year, let's say in FY23 at least, the possibility of an EBITDA, you know, sort of doubling in the, you know, 2.5 years from here on, because in assuming, you know, FY 2024 there is no external disruption. Is that thought process correct, or, you know, do you think there is something else that you're missing, some major points?
So, you know, based on our model, like we have always, you know, also mentioned, we believe we should do around 7 crore, you know, of revenue per outlet, with a store margin of approximately 21%, and a corporate level EBITDA margin of approximately 15%. The numbers that you will see in FY 22 would have, you know, in at least two occasions impacted by wave 2 and wave 3. To that extent, there is some disruption. But otherwise, you know, in our month-to-month numbers that we see, you know, like we also mentioned, in the month of March, which was a pretty normalized month for us, the business has pretty much performed at the same level. So, you know, our priorities today is continue to expand the network in a thoughtful manner, you know, try and maintain your rent percentages at the discipline that you have maintained over the last, you know, 15 years, and keep the guest excitement on so that this percentage of 7 crore should maintain, right? And on a normalized basis, we expect a same-store sales growth of around 5-7% on the existing portfolio. Obviously, for FY 23, given that FY 22 numbers were slightly impacted by second and third wave, FY 23 strictly on a SSG basis will be far higher. But on a normalized month basis,
that's obviously a function of base only. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
So you know, just to add further, when you say 21%, this is pre-Ind AS, correct? Margins.
Yeah. So all the numbers that I mentioned, you're pre-Ind AS.
And when, you know, just from a delivery perspective, you know, we had started as an experiment, and now we are seeing this kind of, you know, numbers. 45 crore UBI said this quarter as well. So where do you see that, you know, settling, or do you think, you know, this delivery probably will phase out once in normalization returns, or any thoughts? Because this quarter also in some manner you had some benefit of, you know, wave 3 also impacting you. If you can give, you know, your thoughts or color on how should we think about, you know, delivery revenues going forward?
So, first of all, no, delivery was not an experiment. Delivery was a very thoughtful, you know, exercise that we wanted to do. We actually started it in November 2018, right? So we ran it almost 1.5 years pre-COVID also. But the real attraction in this business came in post-COVID. It got accelerated. And also pre-COVID, we didn't have Barbecue in a Box. During COVID times, we launched Barbecue in a Box, which has got phenomenal response from our guests. And that's why you see almost, you know, 7-8 growth in delivery over FY 20 base. It has always been a priority for us, right? And as the industry delivery volumes are going up, we are also, you know, benefiting, you know, from that. On the smaller base, obviously, our growth rates are far higher. So our plans on delivery would be to keep growing it at almost 20%, you know, CAGR over next few years. I don't think it is a substitute to dine-in. Like you see over last 4 quarters, you know, despite the fact that the dine-in ramp-up has been extremely strong, our momentum on delivery side also has been continuing extremely well, right? So, you know, even if you look at as compared to previous quarter, which is a seasonally better quarter, our delivery revenues have been holding up pretty well. I don't see that there is any risk of cannibalization from this. If at all, we would plan to only grow it higher.
Understood. And, you know, if I may ask, you know, there is a lot of inflation that we have seen across, you know, food items, and you would also be across, you know, other items apart from food as well. What sort of gross margins, you know, or what kind of price hikes, you know, do you plan to take, or you have already taken any, will help us to mitigate, you know, gross margins, and how do you plan to tackle inflation in the near term or at least medium term?
Yeah, so it has definitely impacted us also. In quarter four, we did not take any price hike. We actually, you know, obviously entered quarter four with the Omicron wave, and then in the month of March, the priority was to get as much volume as you can. I'm happy to see the volume numbers that we saw in the month of March. In the month of April and May, both the months put together, we have taken approximately 5% price hike, which should help us to reclaim the gross margin that we used to do earlier. Also during during quarter four, you know, while the impact of inflation was far higher, there was a lot of work on the ground done on managing you know, the consumption per pax of various high commodity items, you know, menu reengineering, tracking of wastages, you know, trying and having as much precision on forecasting as possible. You know, so those measures were taken, and that's why the impact that we see on gross margin is far better than actual inflation. Having said that, this quarter we have taken price hike, and we're already, you know, seeing that the gross margin should revert back to what it used to be earlier.
So, whatever price hike that you've already initiated will be sufficient to, you know, take the gross margin back to, you know, maybe
yes.
Previous level. Is that, and is there any,
yes.
I mean, intuitively, obviously, it's very, it's not a price sensitive, you know, price elastic, you know, inelastic segment, but have you seen any, you know, impact or what kind of, has the price, you know, hikes been well accepted by the customers? What kind of, if you can give some quantitative sense on how the April has been, or has the trend been, you know, as good as March is, or it's like lower than that?
So yes, it has been. Well, look, April month had two, you know, seasonal impacts. One is the month of Navratri and also Ramzan, right? So in both these months, there is some impact on non-veg consumption, Navratri, and then Ramzan, the lunch consumption goes slightly lower, right? So barring that impact, I think the volumes have not been impacted by the price hike. Also, like that, you know, our value proposition is that we are a value for money brand, right? So we want to maintain that. But having said that, we are also a celebration-driven brand, right? Which means that if somebody is coming in a group of four or five and spending approximately 4,000 rupees for the meal of four or five, you know, that 4,000 rupees going up to 4,100 rupees also does not pinch that strongly, right, to the customer base that we exist to. So I think the business has got flexibility to take price hike in the range of plus minus, you know, 5 to 10%. But it has to be done in a calibrated manner so that the value for money perception of the brand should not go off the track, right? So it is a tactical balance between the two that we keep taking. And no, like I said, the price hike that we have taken in quarter one is good enough. In case the inflation further goes out of whack, I think the business has headroom to take some more price hike to maintain the gross margins.
Understood. Thank you very much. I will come back in queue. Thanks for the question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants are requested to please restrict your questions to two per participant. Participants are requested to please restrict your questions for two per participant. I now invite Mr. Harit Kapoor from Investec to address the management.
Hi, good evening. So just the first question was on the gross margin side. You know, you said that this 200 bps contraction is largely due to the cost side. You were not able to kind of offset it with the pricing. So Rahul, you know, assuming that you've passed it on and things are, you know, normalized, you know, you should kind of get back to your erstwhile level. My question was more on fiscal year 24. If you have a normalized commodity cost environment, some of these on-ground benefits, you know, on-ground initiatives that you've taken, you know, could some of those fructify into gross margin improvement? Maybe in the last few months, you know, these initiatives are not fructified because of the high inflation. I just wanted to get your sense on gross margin slightly longer out, you know, apart from these last 6 months, apart from the next 6 to 9 months.
So that will be, and barring inflation, if I just look at the same pricing level, the same consumption level that you used to have in say FY20 versus now, there is benefit on the gross margin level, right? I think longer term, if you look at 3 to 4 years, we would endeavor to take this gross margin percentage from you know, anywhere between 65% to 66% that we currently have. To a band of at least 67% to 68%, right? So those measures will keep impacting the business.
And on the just a follow up on this, so you know, you said about the 5% price hike. You know, have you guys seen that across dining formats, you chair and seating. So across dining formats, price increases would have been, kind of taken place. And so to that extent, you're kind of competitively neutral.
I tend to believe that. So based on my recent checks in the industry, yes, this inflation bit is pretty much impacting everyone, and I would assume that they would have taken that. Well, our industry is highly unorganized, right? So what you see in one local trade area in say any metro markets can't be very clearly brushed up across the country. But as a brand having presence across 82 cities, data from close to 95 restaurants, the price hike impact on volumes, we have not seen that. Plus one of the other important metrics to track in this case is cancellations, right? The moment you have price hikes and the customer feels that the overall cost is going to be higher, you will see a spike in cancellations, which we have not seen between pre-price hike level and the post-price hike level.
Got it. And last thing was on the March performance. So you mentioned that margins are kind of, EBITDA level margins are kind of back to erstwhile levels. And from a, year-over-year basis also, you spoke about 30% odd growth. I think March last year would have partly been impacted due to, last week maybe would have been impacted due to the second wave. Off this 30 odd percent, and then also you had incremental restaurant additions. So what would be your estimate of kind of SSG for March?
Just for the month of March must be on upwards of 20%. So overall, the top line for the month of March specifically was around 95 crores. And I think, I don't know, sorry, often remember the SSG number for the month of March, but should be around 20% plus.
Got it. That's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Avi Mehta from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Rahul, hi team, thanks a lot. My question was again on inflation. First was essentially which inputs have seen the most inflation and what would be the rough quantum, if you could kind of give us a sense of where is it that we are seeing that.
Yeah, so largely meat. So our meat basket is approximately 40 to 45% of our total food cost. And during the entire quarter and months, we've seen varying rates. Prawns were slightly higher in the month of January. It actually came down a bit in subsequent months, and then subsequent months, chicken prices went up in early double digits, right? So it's pretty much a mix of both the commodities. Fish also is largely imported, so we have some impact due to due to the supply chain disruption that was actually continuing for a long period of time now, right? So it's all put together. One advantage that we have is that given that we don't have a fixed menu and we offer all you can eat, we do also have flexibility to to juggle between these commodities and add extra dishes of maybe more affordable items and lesser on the high cost items, right? So that menu engineering is again a very operating call which we take and on the ground by tracking the food cost per cover very closely, and our MSOs are extremely strong, so that's why in quarter four, despite the price hike that we have seen and input costs, despite not taking price hikes, we have actually managed very good cost margins.
Got it, Rahul. So essentially about half of the input basket, which is meat, is in a double-digit inflation, which is what you are now going to pass to that 5% price increase. That's And last question essentially was to kind of just understand the historical context. Last time when you would have seen this food inflation, could you give us a sense on how was our brand performance? Because we don't have that data, but maybe you could kind of give us some understanding. How was that then and how are things different versus then? Just to kind of have some context around where inflation is, how have we responded earlier and what are the levers we have initially? Thank you.
So, you know, without talking about any specific period, but if I look at last 8-year history of Barbeque Nation's performance, the CAGR on inflation is what you know. The food cost per cover CAGR would not have been more than 2 or 3%. In fact, on a per cover basis, it would be lower because of various efficiencies that have been coming to the system as the scale has moved on, right? So if I compare a period of 2014-2015, the gross margins would be around 61-62%, which has moved up to around 66% now. So that has happened. And the price hike, barring the current price hike, if I look at the average per check CAGR over last 5 years, it would come to around average CAGR of around 2-3% only. Right. So I think overall margin improvement that has happened more from internal efficiencies and benefits of scale, and not requiring to take the price hike. I think in the current operating environment, a good thing is that in the past we have we have room for to take these price hikes, and we have utilized that in the current quarter.
Okay, perfect. All that's all from my side. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I wish you luck.
Thank you, Abhi.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ashish Kanodia. Please go ahead.
Hi Rahul. So on March you talked about closer to 95 crore kind of revenue run rate. So just wanted to understand where is the restaurant.
Sorry to interrupt you, Ashish, but your voice is not very clear. Request you to go off the speakerphone.
Yeah, is it better now?
Yes, yeah, we can hear you clearly now.
Rahul, on operating margins, right? When we look at your PPT, so even for the fully operational stores, the margin was around 15.5%, and I see the disclosure that there was some restrictions. Even for fully operational stores, there were a few constraints, right? So, is it possible to give some color on where these margins have been, say in March or April?
Yeah, so recovered in March to normalized levels. Also in quarter four, full ops, has operating restrictions, like setting restrictions and timing restrictions. Unfortunately, operating leverage obviously takes negatively when your base top line is not achieved, right? And as a team, we have taken a conscious call of not cutting down on cost so significantly. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. In our industry, and like many other industry, we are seeing attrition a lot, right? We are in a phase of the company wherein we are looking to expand more restaurants. So at that point of time, managing your employee cost by reducing your manpower does not make any sense, right? So we have actually carried the entire manpower, and that is helping us now when we are expanding very well. And those sort of things have impacted the month of March. Rental waivers, which we used to get during previous COVID periods, have been very minimum in the third wave. Lastly, because most of these landlords have supported us very well during the first 2 days, and that percentage has actually come down in the third day. So the dual impact of both these high fixed costs, which is manpower and rental, the margins during the third wave were actually low. As compared to the previous COVID period, it was far better, but as compared to a non-COVID normalized month, it was low, right? But in the month of March, now we have seen store level margin coming back to close to 20% that we used to have. And this I'm talking about the portfolio level. All right.
Sure. So, Rahul, that's very helpful. And secondly, on the extension kitchen side, now you have around 15 extension kitchens. So what's the thought process on that? Maybe more from a 2-year, 3-year perspective, do you see this 15 extension kitchens becoming, say, around 50, 55 or even higher than that in the next 2-3 years? And, where do you see, and once you ramp up those extension kitchen, where do you see your delivery revenue, stacking up?
On the extension kitchen side, one, their contribution to overall business is very low, right? We have tried those as an extension to reach to our guests to the more closer to where they are. And with 15 on board, we don't expect to add more than maybe 2-3 in the short term. I think we will wait for the revenues to also start tracking up in a manner that these extension kitchens reach to a 15% at least store level margins Right now we are not. They are at only single digit EBITDA margins. They do give us an kitchen infrastructure which can be actually utilized to further leverage your delivery portfolio, and that's the thought process there. I would say it's still a work in progress strategy. It's very difficult to give a firm number on number of Sinchin kitchens. It's a small capital outlay. We are very nimble in terms of deciding that. If we find that some of our nearby barbecue outlets are doing very good on delivery, they are actually also leading to some metrics not being as par with what it should be because of huge volumes, we go ahead and open extension kitchen. Right. So I would say wait for maybe two more quarters to see how this unfolds. We're also not in a hurry to prove that. We'll just take it very cautiously.
Sure, Rahul. That's very helpful, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Ashish.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Prateek Poddar from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Just one question. I heard you talked about 50% YOY growth in the month of March. Just a bit puzzled when you said that margins would have normalized in the month of March with 50% growth on a YOY basis, and last year was fairly normalized, if I'm not wrong. Your ROM should have gone up, right?
So, if you look at 95 crores, quarter three, also we did approximately similar numbers, right? We did around 285 crores, which is the average of 95 crores. We did pretty much similar numbers in the month of March. And in the month of, in quarter three, also our restaurant operating margins were around 21%. So, it's pretty much at the same level.
Okay. And second question is, just if you could talk a bit about your delivery business. Since you've not taken any price hikes, I'm assuming that the sequential decline is all volume decline. Anything to read into this? Because we had the wave, so I would have thought this should have gone up, or was it that this time the wave had a negative impact on delivery business? Because
I didn't notice any significant increase in the delivery volumes because of the third wave, not for our business also. And in the third wave, what has actually happened is that the volume has gone up, overall transaction volumes. The average per check has come down. And this is, in our case, actually more because there is shift between, shift from more items per order, or earlier the consumption per order was maybe done by groups of between 2 to 4. And now that has gone to single consumption orders, right? So even though the order volumes have gone up, because of the decline in the average per volume, overall sales volume has come down. Also, quarter three was a seasonally better quarter, right? So on a like-to-like basis, sales are well maintained.
Given that you have had some experience around delivery now, what's the repeat percentage there? How many customers are repeat?
So we don't have all the data because large portion of our business comes to aggregators.
And on your app, I remember in your PPT you talked about 25% of the business, but I'm assuming that would be also on the dine-in side where people will be reserving online on the app.
Yeah.
But just on your app, anecdotally, if you were to see, is there a decent repeat customer base who's coming and having frequent usage of?
Yes, a large portion. Also, a large portion of our delivery orders on app have the barbecue loyalty points applied, which is a smile points. And we are slowly and steadily seeing very good adoption of the barbecue loyalty points also. So the repeat business on our app is very high, which is driven by a mix of both loyalty points and in general, repeat customers on the platform.
And lastly, just wanted to check, at least when I was doing this anecdotally, I see a pricing difference between aggregators and your own app for UBQ or Barbecue in a Box, right, those formats. Any specific reason or how should I think about that?
No, there should not be on the MRP side. But maybe because of some promotions being running on different platforms, some from our side, some from aggregator side, you might see a price difference. But otherwise, on the MRP level, both are same.
But really helpful, and all the best for the upcoming future. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Prateek.
Thank you. We have the next review from the line of Manish Poddar from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Rahul, just two questions. First one is, would you be able to help me understand the new store which you're signing, what is the rent as a percentage of sales?
Look, the sales ramp-up has to happen, right? So if you look at the new stores, they're not in last quarter, one would not have run for more than three months, right? So as the sales normalize, based on our prediction, these won't go beyond beyond 10%. Say by year in the year two sales.
Okay, because you know when I look at other expenses, let's say divided by the store, just a crude way and not taking average, when I compare to the base quarter versus this quarter, there hasn't been any inflation as such. This would number of roughly about 4 million odd other expenses per store. So what are the savings which you're getting here, or is it largely to do with the Jan month being not there?
It's largely Jan month, but otherwise on the rental side, are the new leases better than the averages? No. But one difference on the new lease also is that it's more split toward metro markets. So technically may have higher rentals, but despite that, our rentals on the new lease would be at pretty much same level, at around 10 to 10.5%.
Okay, and just one thing, so we haven't seen, you know, a normal quarter for quite some time, and we don't have the trading history. So is there any seasonality in the business as such? Let's say, should one look at numbers sequentially, or do you look at numbers YOY generally?
Yeah, there is. So typically in the entire year, quarter three is pretty much the best because of the festive season, right? Followed by quarter four. Because of you know, a good January that you normally see, the initial days of January also helps you a lot. Then quarter one, some school holidays that you see. Quarter two is typically the worst because of rains, because of Shraddh, because of Shravan. Some of these impact non-day consumption, right? So that's the way it is, but broadly, your H1 should give you approximately 45 to 47% top line, and H2 gives us around 53% top line.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks.
Thank you, Anish.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Varun Singh from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is on Toscano, La Terrace and Collage. Sir, how is the business over here? Because now it's been close to 2 odd years since we acquired Red Apple. And so now I just wanted to understand how the business is tracking, how the health of the business is, and how we are thinking about expansion in these three franchises in future.
Yeah, so just one clarification, Toscano, Collage and La Terrace, both La Terrace and Collage are actually sub-brands of Toscano only. So all three are part of the same Toscano brands. Those two are not different franchisees. We have taken a quick call to move to a multi-cuisine in one restaurant only as the name of Collage, rather than just doing Toscano. So as a strategy, in the long term, the only brand that you want to grow is Toscano. And not spend bandwidth on multiple brands, right? So that's Toscano. It has grown extremely well between last year and this year. The revenues have actually doubled. And despite in FY22 there was impact of obviously two waves, which also impacted Toscano. Right? It's shaping up pretty well. The margins are very strong there. We have closed one restaurant this year in Toscano. And we have opened one more restaurant this year. So the net number didn't change to 11. But subsequently, we had opened one in the month of April. One more is opening up in the month of May. And the plan is to take this store count from 11 to approximately 16 to 17 by end of this financial year. So almost 50% addition of the existing base. Run rate revenue-wise, it is doing extremely well. And in fact, both Toscano and international business, both of these businesses has moved to a to a current month monthly run rate of upwards of 6 crore rupees per month each individually, right? So I think both of these are very strong, profitable franchises, and in a good path to grow. Our long term on Toscano is that we want to take it to 100 outlets. And if I look at Barbeque Nation in 2013 also was around 18 outlets, and now we are close to 168 outlets in Barbeque Nation. That's the growth story which I believe Toscano should also take. The brands have all the all the attributes to reach the same story.
Understood. And sir, my second question is on the delivery business. Sir, what are the metrics that we are tracking to understand the robustness of the I understand one of the participants has asked about the repeat customers data in case if we are tracking to that category. But if not repeat customers, sir, how we are making measurement of how strongly we are able to drive growth, not just growth in numeric terms, but the quality of the delivery business. And so if you can share some view over there, sir, that will be very helpful.
So you can get customer data, but there's a lot of operating data that flows on each side, right? We obviously track daily ADS on delivery by store. We track the KPT, which is kitchen prep time by store. There's something called NFR, which is marked to ready by our guests. Timing between marked to ready and actually ordered being picked up. So there are a lot of operating metrics. The overall delivery time to the guests. There are also data on how many customers were dissatisfied with your food. Right, so there's something called IGCC and for Swiggy and ORS for Zomato. So these data flow to almost all the brand, and we have organized this in our own internal MIS platform, and we track it across all our restaurants. So these are on the operating side. Obviously, ratings, which has like I said earlier, has improved significantly. So those are all working extremely fine. A lot of data on menu. So which product is working, which is not working. What needs to be done, what can you add to the basket, how many customers order the box and then also order additional some breads. So these data are all available, and there are a lot of data crunching that has been happening at the back end on all of these metrics, and that's why we see the delivery business reaching where it is today. So there's a focused team who look after the delivery business in our company and is growing that.
Understood, sir. That's very helpful. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Varun.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Raikin Gopani from Capri Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I had two questions. Firstly, on the expansion of stores, you now target about 35 stores to be opened. If you could share some color in terms of have you accelerated this expansion plan, and if so, what are the kind of geographies that you intend to expand this in terms of tier or tier 1 or tier 2? How do you intend to accelerate this?
So we would like to maintain the current mix. We have around 20% in metro and tier 1 and around 30% in tier 2, tier 3. If you look at this year, we have more skewed towards metro and tier 1 markets. I think the rentals in some of these markets are also sensible. We actually don't just look at this geography. We have to go. We are very conscious about what kind of sites we sign. So at any point of time, we would have a pipeline of almost 2x of the number of stores that we want to do. One thing that we have learned over the last so many years in this business is that you cannot overpay in your rental commitments, otherwise your economics will just get distorted. And having put in the capex to grow that store, it's very difficult to actually come back to the profit margin. So my broader sense is that we will maintain pretty much the same ratio that we have today.
Right. Just one follow-up there. So if I've seen through some of your communications in the last 2-3 quarters, it was about 20 stores is what you were sort of guiding, and this sort of now getting accelerated to about 35 stores. So any color in terms of what's driving the acceleration of store count here, addition?
So the 20 store guidance that was given for FY20 was keeping in mind extremely well that quarter one, quarter two will not see more stores. Because of the fact that the fundraise was complete, I also mentioned it just before this call, just before your question, that the timeline for pipeline to mature is slightly larger, right? And we knew that our pipeline in quarter three and quarter four, as in the stores hitting the ground, quarter three, quarter four will be higher. Today we have built capability inside the system to open, anywhere between 3 to 5 outlets every month. We have that capability. If we find good sites, can we cross, more than 40 in the year? Yes, we can.
All right. Understood. And the second question that I have is on the delivery, again, one of the metrics. I want to understand is incrementally the stores that you're opening, what are the ADS levels for delivery that you are seeing in the newer stores? Are they sort of matching what you are seeing in the stores which were there for more than 1 year, incrementally, are the newer stores also seeing traction on delivery is what I want to understand.
Yes, they are. Barring the fact that some of these stores which are new on the platform also take more time for discoverability, this is not a Barbeque Nation phenomenon, this is general industry phenomenon. So as and when, more customers, hit that store, it gets discovered more and more. So barring that, I think we are launching at a pretty decent ADS, and then the growth in the initial was also very good. So we have not noticed any special or any different dynamics of new store on delivery side.
All right, sir. Thank you so much for your answers.
Thank you, Aiden. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Trilok from Diamond Asia. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. I just wanted to, check on, again, going back to delivery questions, with a couple of participants already asking that. So, are we trying to, I'm sure you must have, thought about, sustaining the momentum. Is there meaningful innovation or, thought process going on how to build that business, going forward? Because that is A, obviously, higher margin business, and B, obviously, gives you higher throughput, and extension can also be a medium-term opportunity. Could you just, help us understand on that part, please.
So, yes, thought process, yes, no doubt about it. I am not sure about higher margin business because, the food cost, packaging cost, aggregate consumption put together make it a slightly lower contribution margin business. And if you keep on adding more and more, distinct kitchens, you will have other operating costs like rents and manpower operating costs, right? So beyond a particular ADS level, yes, it will do that. Since we do it, so for example, in our case, what we do from our own barbecue setup are higher margins. What we do from extension kitchens, even at say the ADS level, are lower margins, right? But having said that, and that's why we are very conscious about the extension kitchen. We track margin by unit, by month, right? So so that is there. But having said that, yes, new product innovations are being thought of. There are some in pipeline also. I need to talk about it right now. We don't know when this will hit the ground. But by and large, delivery is a focus area. Delivery is also a growing market. We want to capitalize on the kitchen facility that we already built in this country, and use that for delivery. So that's what I can say to love.
Okay. And when you initially, commented about 7 crore restaurant business, so that's excluding delivery? Or is it including delivery?
No, that's including delivery.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much. And we should
thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Faisal Hawa from HG Hawa and Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So, how much is the contribution of top 20 restaurants to our revenue? this for Barbeque Nation alone? And secondly, how are we leveraging the various social media platforms that are available to us as an advertising, and particularly, you know, when most of our customers do come there for, you know, birthdays and anniversaries?
Right, so contribution of top 20 restaurants, which is approximately 12% of our total restaurant network, would be anywhere between 18-20% of the entire revenue. So not that there is more concentrated towards top 20. In terms of social media, digital media, you know, we have a very in-house strong marketing team. The gentleman who joined us almost 6 months back as chief marketing officer, a lot of performance marketing initiatives been taken. We do some spend on digital media on Facebook and Instagram. We have a lot of broader activities that keep happening on YouTube and Instagram. So the data that we get, our data collection of dining guests is approximately 98%, which means that we get 98% of customers' mobile number for the table, obviously, for the group. One of the numbers, we obviously call back them for feedback. We also, you know, send them, you know, and sometimes promotional, you know, vouchers in case the repeat customers are not coming in. We also work with few of the external agencies to help us in these programs. So it's pretty, I would say, you know, well-oiled department, you know, who have been doing it now for 3 years.
So just like delivery came in as a, you know, huge revenue contributor to us, is there any thought process within the team to, you know, develop more such, you know, revenue contributors, you know, some different formats or, you know, which could emerge as a big revenue contributors in the future?
Yes, so, yes, Tiger, we can, right? So there's 2-3 points. One is capability, it's there in the system. It's about bandwidth and focus. Right, so over the last 2 years, we obviously had a tough period because of COVID. You know, there was, it's very erratic, right? And over the two years, you know, what we have done is stabilize the dining business in a very, I would say, commendable manner. There is also a pretty much playbook for any subsequent years that come in. We have built a very strong delivery business, which is approximately 20% of our 18-20% of our top line. We have stabilized our international business in a manner that today is one of the best margin business for us. 3 years back, you know, you would remember that our international business was dragging, and today it's contributing very handsomely to our product on capital employed also. And Toscano, you know, we acquired 2 years back. The journey with Toscano has been along with COVID. So the integration and the growth that Toscano, that could happen with Toscano has been slightly delayed. But that has also navigated very well, right? So in terms of diversified revenue stream, the company has already created, just before COVID versus now, we have got 4 revenue streams. One is Core India Barbecue Nation, we have Barbecue International, we have delivery business, and we have the Toscano business, right? I think all of these are in a very strong footing today. And, you know, here, if it's a normalized year, I would see the benefit of all of these. That's my expectation. Adding something more, would be in a very methodical and thoughtful manner. We are not in a hurry to do it, but if a good opportunity comes in, we also have both bandwidth and resources to take it up.
So how is our equity participation from Jubilant Theatre help us in terms of best practices exchange with them? That's one. And secondly, would it be a right statement to make if I say that we would definitely grow around 15% in same store as well as new store terms for the next 4 years?
So Jubilant obviously is a great partner, one of the very well run food service company, there has been no operating level interferences or discussions between both the companies. But at a strategic level, we obviously talk and we sound them off, right? Apart from that, I think they are one of the great partners and a lot to learn from them. In terms of your second question on 15% growth, we should do that. So if you look at our current pace, we are at around 185 restaurants today. and we are expecting to add another 35 to 50 restaurants. So while the number is around 20% growth on the existing base, at least even though you assume 5 to 6 months of operation for the full month for all these stores, at least 10% should come from these, and another 5 to 7% should come from SSSG. The other impact that you'll see at least in FY23 is the impact of normalized months. So quarter one in this financial year and quarter four in this financial year are slightly impacted by COVID. As we move into normalized month, the net SSSG is obviously will be far higher, right? So over a period of next 4 to 5 years, CAGRs of upwards of 15%, I think we should be able to do, right? And if we don't do that, I think we have not done a good job. I think the country provides that opportunity. There's no doubt about that.
Correct. And this would be mainly tier 2 towns that see, or that is you're agnostic to that?
No. So it's not tier 2 town. It is also metro and tier 1 markets, right? So I think we're very underpenetrated in metro and tier 1. In Bombay itself, including the Greater Mumbai region, Thane region, all put together, we only have, 18-20 outlets. I think the city has much more potential. Same for goes for Delhi. Delhi also, NCR put together, we have around 23 outlets. Just for Delhi, without NCR, we only have, 11 odd outlets. Delhi itself has potential to take far higher than that. So the growth will be driven both by Metro Tier 1 and Tier 2, Tier 3.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Sajid.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, that was the last question. I now hand it over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all. Thanks for joining to this call. We look forward to good year in the community now, and hopefully we'll connect in the next quarter with further updates. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.